Sunday. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for His presence tonight, for what He is doing in hearts, what He has done all week. We're so thrilled that we were privileged to be part of this tremendous meeting. I want to say thank you to your outstanding district youth president, Brother Claiborne, and his entire staff, Brother Smith, Brother Morton, and all the district youth committee. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this meeting this year. To tremendous asset you have in your district leadership, Brother and Sister Price and Brother and Sister Cantrell and your entire district board. God bless these wonderful people of God. That means so much to each and every one of us around the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church. Thank you to them for allowing me to be here. Pleasure to be in Bakersfield, in particular, a place that has much to do with who I am, to those who played a part in shaping my life. The image of our lives is not a snapshot, it is a montage. It is a collaboration of many scenes, portraits. It's color and depth and texture and composition is manifold. And many of those who played such an important role in the shaping of my life are here tonight. Thank you so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. These are momentous times. It's not because of Y2K or because the calendars will read 2000 in just a few months. It's because the Church of the Living God is coming to the forefront in a way that is unprecedented in our times and in almost any time. The world is looking to us. We are receiving attention as never before. Both the world of power and position and wealth and culture is amazed at what is happening in the Pentecostal realm. While other churches are failing, faltering, and folding, the United Pentecostal Church is marching onward. Even in the Pentecostal world, we are an anomaly. Some don't like us very much. We have been called cult. That upsets some of us. I have a word for you. Get used to it. Don't bother me a bit. The book says, blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. We'll defend ourselves, sure. But secretly we're saying, that a boy devil, come on. We're an anomaly because they said years ago, we won't stay on fire. You won't keep shouting like that. You won't keep worshiping like that. You won't stay alive and vibrant like that. They said you'll never grow, you're too strict. Young people aren't going to live that kind of lifestyle. That's what they said. fact, there seems to be a repeating tenor in almost all media interviews that are conducted, and the drumbeat that's constantly given in these interviews is, you're losing your young people, aren't you? I mean, you're having trouble with your kids living that lifestyle, aren't you? Kids don't want to dress like that. Kids don't want to look like that. Kids don't want to go to church where it's not 5 hours of rock music and then the Pope walks in. That's what they say. If you won't go where it's worship, and you won't go where it's preaching, you won't go where it's not a production choreographed and put together with Hollywood production standards. You won't do that. You're not interested in that. That's what they say. But I've got news for them. They ought to come to Bakersfield. They ought to come to California. Everybody out here is not nuts. Everybody out here is not crazy. Everybody out here doesn't have green hair or blue eye shadow. Everybody out here is not high on drugs or drunk on alcohol. Not everybody. There's a bunch of kids out here that's in love with Jesus Christ. They want to live right. They want to look right. They want to talk right. They want to worship. They love preaching. They love this old-fashioned way. And they're going to be faithful. Oh, hallelujah. They don't know where to put us. We don't fit anywhere. The demographics don't work when you talk about us. And it's always been like that. We are a peculiar people. The church always has defied categorization. And we still do. And we are growing. And people are afraid. Because if we do it, we prove they could have done it. If we stay true to it, we prove they could have stayed true to it. And if we impact our world and still look right and talk right and are right and preach right, we prove that they could have done it if they'd have wanted to do it. And so, California young people, the eyes of the world are moving slowly but surely toward the church. And our master said many years ago that there is a requirement that goes above all others. And I think he understood, obviously did, that he would be addressing our crucial time. They will not be impressed just with our worship, nor with our lifestyle, nor with our doctrine. But he said, if we are found faithful, we will have fulfilled our obligation. Here's a preacher giving his resume. This is his proof of the blessings of God in his life. This is what he says is the result of a committed faithful, sacrificial life. This is what happens when you live for God with all your heart. Now here it is. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the country, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. I thought when you served God, you drove a Lincoln Continental. I thought when you served God, you lived in a big house, had lots of money. I thought when you served God, you got the handsomest guy in the youth group or the prettiest girl. I know when you serve God, you never got down. Things never went wrong. Nothing ever went against you. Everybody liked you. Nobody ever talked about you. Your teeth were always straight and your hair was always curly. I thought when you loved God, everything went right. I thought when you served God, you kind of float from Sunday night to Sunday night. And the devil couldn't reach you, and you was just victory and triumph and wonderful, and it was youth convention all the time. I thought if you really loved God, your prayers were always answered the way you want them to be answered. But here's the greatest apostle who ever lived saying, here's what I got for serving God. Now, I'm going to preach a little while tonight. I know I've been up here a bit, but I'm going to preach a little while. It's last night. Y'all shouted and acted up a while. Now, I'm going to preach a while. Is that okay? I'm going to preach for every young person that's going to live here with a renewed determination to serve God. For every young person that's going to understand the times in which we live, that what the church needs more than anything else are just kids that'll get up every morning and go to school or go to the job or whatever they do, and we'll serve God that day, day after day after day after day. That will obey their pastor and honor their parents and love their church and follow the teachings of the Word of God. We'll worship Him and love Him. Maybe not spectacular. Maybe nobody will ever notice. But when the chips are down, they're there. They're just there. In good times and bad, in up times and down, when everything's right and everything's wrong, I'm just there. That's all. I'm going to serve Him regardless. I'm going to preach for you tonight, and I'm going to preach to our enemy. I'm going to preach, devil, you missed again. I'm still here. I'm still serving Him. I'm still loving Him. I'm still praising Him. I'm still here. You hadn't got me yet. And you're not going to get me. Sit down. I am constantly amazed when people are surprised when the devil acts like the devil. Because what the devil is he's the devil. And he's good at it. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a discourager. He is a deceiver. And he hates you. And he hates me, and I'm proud of it. I'd hate it if he ignored me. I wouldn't like it if he didn't know about me. The devil's once said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and I hope they've got our name on some list up there, because I want him to know I don't like him either. I'm against everything he stands for. I'm against everything he tries to do. I'm for Jesus, and I'm against the devil, and I want him to know it. Somebody said, you better watch out, Brother Jones. You preach like that, next thing you know, the devil's going to be after you. He's been after me since 1966. He hadn't quit, and I hadn't quit, and me and him's never come to an understanding yet. So I'm still going to publicly tell him, you're a scallywag, you're a no good liar, you're an accuser, a cheater, a thief, a stealer. You hate me, and I'm against you. And I want you to leave here knowing one thing. Jesus Christ loves you enough to die for you, and the devil wants to destroy you because of it. He doesn't really care much about me and you, but he sure hates my Jesus. Because Jesus whipped him pretty bad when he ripped hell up and he brought captivity captive and he got those keys from him. And now he ever liveth to make intercession, and the devil hates it. So his greatest triumph, please hear me tonight, his greatest triumph is not when a drug addict keeps on being a drug addict. That's a terrible tragedy, and I don't minimize that tragedy. But his greatest triumph is not when he keeps a drunkard lying in the gutter. His greatest triumph is not when the immoral go on being immoral. Those are terrible things, and I'm so sorry for them. But his greatest triumph is when he discourages some child of God who is trying to serve the Lord and trying to bring glory to the name of the Lord. And the devil discourages you so much until you are ready to give up. Until you quit going to church, you quit praying, you quit worshiping, you quit loving God, you quit looking right and talking right and being right. He'll do anything he can to keep that in your life. He will cover you with condemnation. He'll point out everybody's mistakes. He'll make you sick. He'll tell you the church doesn't love you. He'll tell you the pastor's against you. He'll tell you the youth pastor doesn't pay you enough attention. He'll tell you it's not real. He'll tell you you don't have to live like this. He'll tell you the Bible's not true. He'll tell you anything to get you to quit. Now I want to tell you, if his greatest victory is to get you to quit, then his greatest defeat is when you just won't quit. I don't minimize soul winning. I don't minimize anything else we do. But let me tell you, in the bottom line, in the final analysis, victory is won or lost. Not in the spectacular. It's won every morning when you get up and look in the mirror and say, today, I'm going to serve God. When you go to bed at night and the last thought on your mind is, today, I made it. And I'm going to make it again tomorrow. And you get up again and you just serve God. It's when you just won't be discouraged. You ought to be discouraged. You ought to give up. Everything's gone wrong. You get beaten up. You get in shipwrecks. You spend a night and a day in the ocean. That salt water wrinkles you up like a California prune. You're in perils by your own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the country. You've got everything going. You ought to give up. But you just don't give up. Yeah, you ought to drag into church and plop down on the back row and fold your arms and slouch down and say, preacher, I hope you got a good one tonight. Maybe you ought to do that. But somehow you just walk right on past that back row. Yeah, it's been a tough day. Yes, everything's gone against you. But you just don't stop there. You just walk right on down to the front row. And you sit down. And maybe you ought to sit and let somebody else worship, because you've got a good reason not to worship. But you just don't do it. When the first song starts, the first note, you're on your feet. Your hands are in the air. You may not feel like it, but you're
you're loving Him anyhow. You may not feel like it, but you're praising Him anyhow. And the devil throws up his hands and says, I don't know what to do with that one. I do my best, and they just won't quit. That's our greatest victory. Our greatest victory is faithfulness. Our greatest victory is just being there every service. It's just worshiping every service. It's just obeying, being submitted, loving God, being humble, being righteous. That's our greatest victory. One reason the Master said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful is because the devil has no defense against faithfulness. He can't handle it. When you just keep doing stuff. You just keep praying and keep doing and keep loving God and just keep on going. He don't know what to do about that. In fact, the devil... Boy, I hesitate to say this. I don't want you to misunderstand me. But the devil is the keystone cop of the spirit world. Now, I'm not so old that I know really anything about this except what I've read. But way back in the Dark Ages, you know, about the 30s or something like that, they did these movies, silent movies, and the heroes were these guys who were called the Keystone Cops. Kind of stupid, I guess. They never got their man. They couldn't close the deal. They couldn't pull the trigger. They couldn't arrest him. They would all be running after the guy that's got the big bag of money. And just before they grab him, they'd stumble and they'd fall. They'd go off a cliff or off a building or out a window or drive into a wall. Every time they almost got him, they just couldn't do it. Hello, devil. Now, I know the Keystone Cops is carnal and worldly and all that, and I'm sorry, it's just the best I could think of. But what I'm preaching is biblical. The book says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. And they shall not prevail. It also says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. He almost gets me. He almost discourages me. He almost pulls me down. And suddenly there is one between me and my enemy. And my enemy stumbles. His weapons melt in his hands. He's not able to do it. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, but here's my song. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm just not going to quit. I'm just not going to give in. I'm just not going to give up. If I mess up, I'm going to repent and get it under the blood. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on serving God. When the smoke clears and the dust settles, you hear me, devil? I'll still be standing there. when the battle is over and you think you've won, hang on a little bit longer, because when it's over, I'm still going to be standing there. I might be bloody, I might be battered, I might be beaten, but I'm still going to be standing, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Please hear me. We don't have to have people that are perfect. My Lord, we need to keep trying and striving. And I'm not excusing living below the standards. But here's what I'm telling you. We just need people that won't quit. Not kids that go home from youth convention and for 3 weeks or a month they're on fire and they're shouting and they're dancing and they're carrying on and they're witnessing in good school, and 2 months from now they've just about quit, and 6 months from now they're gone. That's not what we need. We need young people that'll be here next year and the year after and the year after, still loving it, still worshiping it, still serving it. Brother Price was so right today. It's really just up to you. It's just what's in here. If you just decide, I ain't quitting. Not good grammar, but it's what I'm talking about. I'm just not going to quit. That's all. I'm sorry. You're stuck with me. I'm here. I'm not giving up. If you'll just make up your mind, I am Pentecostal from today until the Lord comes or until I die, that'll settle a whole lot of problems in your life. If you just make up your mind, I'm a front row shouter. I'm a Jesus name person. I'm a prayer room inhabitant. I'm your witnesser, a soul winner. I'm just going to keep doing it. Then you hear me, there ain't a devil big enough, not a problem bad enough, not a situation tough enough. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you get it in your head and in your heart, I ain't quitting. I just ain't quitting. Sit down. The Apostle Paul is our model. He was just a young man when the Lord knocked him down on the road to Damascus. He was the champion of everybody that hated truth and hated Jesus and hated the new way. But in an encounter on the road to Damascus and in a house on the street called Straight, his life was forever changed, and he became a champion for the other side. The Bible says immediately he went to the synagogue and he used all that learning that Gamaliel gave him and all that training that the Pharisaic cult or sect gave him, and he began to teach that Jesus is the Messiah. And wonder of wonders, all those folks that loved him, they started hating him. All those folks patting him on the back, telling him what a great guy he was. Sick him there, Paul. Go after those Christians. Get rid of him. All of a sudden, they were taking counsel and saying, we're going to kill that guy. Oh, you know the devil was behind it. He was right there in that council meeting when they decided, we're going to lay in wait for that guy. We're going to wait till he comes. He can't stay in Damascus all the time. And when he comes out the gate, we're going to have our knives ready. And we're going to kill him right there. We're going to shut him up. We're going to quit that preaching. We're going to get rid of that guy. He is a black eye to every one of us. And the devil was behind it. And so there they were, waiting at the gates, waiting for an unguarded moment, waiting for him to grow careless, waiting for him to be unaware of his surroundings, and they would have slain him there. There never would have been an Apostle Paul
2/3 of the New Testament unwritten. Much of the book of Acts never happened. But the church... Don't tell me you don't need the church. Come on, Lone Ranger. You ain't going to do this by yourself. You're not going to make it all on your own. You need a pastor to love you and preach to you and teach you the truth. You need a church to stand with you and help you in the dark times. You don't need to go off by yourself. You don't need to say, I can do it. This me and Jesus got our own thing going. That's for the birds. It's us and Jesus. It's the church. Strong arms. Put him in a big old basket. Put a top on the basket. Tied a rope around the basket. And in the dead of night, while those guys was guarding the gate, they lowered Paul over the back wall in a basket. Hit basket, hit the ground. Paul come climbing out. He jumped on a horse and he headed to Arabia. And while he's riding off in the moonlight, he looks back and he sees their knives shining and he waves. And he said, devil, you missed. I'm still alive. I'm still praising Him. I'm still serving Him. Stick with the church. They'll see you through. Stick with the church. They'll keep you in touch with God. Stick with the church. They'll get you over the wall. Stay with the church. But the devil didn't give up. And he ain't going to give up on you either. The devil's worst nightmare is coming true. Paul comes out of Arabia. He goes down to Jerusalem. He finds out he's preaching the same gospel that's been preached from the beginning. And then God says, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I has called them to do. Boy, the devil's getting worried. This guy gets out. He gets out to where all them heathens are. There's no telling what kind of revival he's going to have. I wish so badly we could shrug off our inferiority complex. I wish we could change our thinking. We're seeing the devil. Some of you see the devil right now as this big, huge creature with bulging muscles and swords and spears and all this kind of junk. You see him so much bigger than you are. If we could see what the devil's doing right now in Bakersfield, California, let me tell you what he's doing. He's biting his fingernails right now. He sees a couple of thousand kids that's about to go home and turn the world upside down. His worst nightmare is about to come true in California. He's kept us down so long. He's kept us feeling less so long that we've gotten used to it. It's time to realize He has no power that can match the power that is in us. First missionary journey, Paul gets to the city of Lystra. A man there had never walked, and Paul laid his hands on him, and God healed him. People were calling them gods. They had Paul and Barnabas. They were just saying, these are awesome guys. And then some of the people that hated the truth came and started stirring folks up. One day they're calling them gods, and the next day they're dragging Paul out of town, and they stoned him. Now, I don't want to argue with you, but there are those that believe that Paul was literally killed. That this was the incident of which he wrote when he said, once there was a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I know not, caught up into the third heaven, heard things, saw things unlawful to utter. I don't know, but I know this. The fellas what stoned him, they were good at it. And whether they killed him or not, they thought they did. He was laying under a pile of bloody stones in the sunset outside of Lystra. Not only did his persecutors think they killed him, but evidently the church thought they killed him. Sad thing. Come here because he just wanted to preach, and now they took him out and they killed him. They turn sadly back and start walking toward the gate of the city. And they hear a little commotion in them rocks.
quick turn back and look, and all of a sudden a bloody hand shoves a rock out of the way. And then another hand. And then the head. And then he comes walking out of those rocks. Where does he go? He goes running, hiding. No, sir. Bible says he walks right back in that city. He looks the devil right in the eye. You missed, devil. You missed again. I'm still alive. I'm still loving him. I'm still serving him. Him and Silas get down to Philippi and they cast the devil out of a girl who can read tea leaves and tarot cards and all that stuff, and it makes the people mad, and they throw them in the dungeon. They beat their backs. Here they sit. It's midnight. Rats and roaches and smells and terrible things, and their feet are in stocks, and it's dark and it's terrible and it's horrible, and God must not love us and God must be against us, and how could this happen? And Paul says, hey, Silas. Let's sing. My back hurts. My feet hurt. It's dark in here. It's midnight. I'm tired. It ain't fair. It ought not happen. But you know what? I feel like singing. What you want to sing, Paul? Oh, I don't know. How about this one? Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God. I don't know how good they sung or how bad they sang. It didn't really matter. The prisoners heard them. But it reached higher than the first floor. It reached higher than the second floor. It reached higher than the third floor. It reached all the way up to heaven. And God jumped up from His throne. Said, I need four big old angels. I want one at each corner of that jailhouse. And when they get to the chorus again, I want you to shake that place like you never shook anything in all of your life. He set me free. Glory to God, He set me free. It's a mystery to me, but the Bible indicates that every jailhouse door came open, every chain fell off, every stock fell open. And when the jailer got there and thought everybody was gone, Paul said, we're all here. Why didn't all them guys on the first floor get out? Why didn't all them guys on the second floor leave? When their jail cell doors came open, how come they hung around? All I can figure is they liked the singing. They never heard anybody in the dungeon sing back before. They never heard anybody beaten sing before. They never heard anybody that had been treated like that sing before. The world is waiting for somebody who, no matter how dark the night, will say, God loves me. God's on my side. I'm going to keep loving Him. I'm going to keep praising Him. He baptized the jailer, baptized the jailer's family, had revival in the jailhouse because somebody said, I don't care what happens, I'm just going to keep doing what I know to do. Next morning, the fellas that threw them in there, they come to see them. They're still in the jailhouse. Still having a time shouting and singing and baptizing folks and people getting the Holy Ghost. I reckon they're just... And the fellas come in there and said, you know, we were very sorry about this little misunderstanding.
We didn't mean to beat you up like that and throw you in jail. Just a little misunderstanding. We didn't know you were a Roman citizen. That's the problem. So if you just want to come on out, that'll be fine. Just come on, let bygones be bygones. And Paul said, not on your life. You threw us in here without a trial. You threw us in here without right treatment. You threw us in here in the eyes of the world. And we're not sneaking out of here. When we go out of here, we're going out of here in style. So you get the high school band, and you get that big long Cadillac that the mayor rides around in, and you get everybody out on the sidewalks with their flags, and we're having a parade. And so it was later that day, the people that threw him in prison started marching at the head of the parade. The bands were playing, flags were waving. Paul and Silas sitting on the back deck of that convertible Cadillac waving at everybody. Hey, we're back. We're back. We're back. Church tonight down by the riverside. Come on out, everybody. And Paul spies him, sneaking around at the back of the crowd, mad as a wet hen. There he is. The devil looks up with his bloodshot eyes, and Paul waves at him and says, devil, you missed again. We're still alive. We're still praising him. We're still loving him. So on and on through his life. It's a long story of the devil trying and missing, trying and missing. The devil missed him in the riot in Jerusalem. They would have killed him, but suddenly a bunch of soldiers showed up and circled around Paul and escorted him out of that riot. So then probably the stupidest bunch of men in the whole Bible show up. Because after all of this that's happened, a bunch of guys say, we're not going to eat and we're not going to drink until Paul is dead. As far as I know, they're still fasting over there. They hung around the jailhouse. They pulled every political string they could think of. We're going to get him released and we're going to kill him. But they didn't get him released. And when the jailhouse door opened, here came 200 Roman soldiers. All of them on big war horses with their armor and their short swords. And they're riding off towards Caesarea. And who's riding right in the middle of that bunch of big burly soldiers? They ride right past those hollow-eyed, hollow-cheeked, hollow-bellied guys. And Paul waves, you missed. You missed again. I'm still alive. Eurocles done threw him in the sea. But not only he, but everyone who sailed with him were saved. Washed up on the beach. He's gathering sticks for the fire. He throws the stick in the flame. A serpent comes out, bites him on the hand. And the inhabitants say, sea didn't get him. Snake got him. Don't seem fair, does it? Nasty old snake. Paul didn't make the mistake some of you have made. Panic and run from the fire. Snake come out of the fire. You can just go back where you come from. And shook him right back off in the fire. He didn't swell up. He didn't turn blue. He didn't writhe in pain. He didn't die. He looked at that burning snake and he said, devil, you missed again. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still serving him. I've come to tell you, young person, you can trust God. Whatever's going on, you can trust him. I'm telling you, I want you to believe with all of your heart that God is able. God can keep you. God can deliver you. God will see you through. There will be troubles. There will be trials. But if you make up your mind, I'm just going to be here. remain standing. But Brother Jones, wasn't Paul beheaded in the end? I mean, didn't the devil get him in the end? Not on your life. He's sitting in the dungeon. They're about to come after him. And he's writing a few words to a young preacher that he loves in the gospel. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready. Not till I'm ready, devil. Not till my time comes, devil. You can't hurt me. You can't touch me. You can't stop me. Not till I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. Departure means I'm headed somewhere. Yes, I'm leaving here, but I'm going there. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And they led him out and to the bloody chopping block. And they lay him down. And the executioner raises that axe. And with all his might, he brings it down. And that great life comes to an end. But he had already said, I can't decide which I'd rather do. Stay here and preach a little longer, or go on and be with the Lord. So I believe when he closed his eyes here, he opened them up over there. And I believe while they were wrapping his body, preparing it for burial, he was walking up to a gate. There was angels singing. There was glory. There was joy. There was happiness. And I believe that one stepped out of that gate that had nail scars in his hands. And he held that hand out to that faithful apostle. And he said, "Welcome home. Well done, my good and faithful servant." And Jesus slipped his arm around him. And they started walking toward that place where there's no tears. And there's no sorrow. And there's no sickness. And there's no death. But just before he disappeared in the clouds of eternity, he looked back one more time. And there was the devil standing down there on the earth. And Paul waved at him and said, "Devil, you missed again. I'm still alive. I'm still worshiping him. I'm still loving him. I'm still praising him." Don't you see that's what it's about? Don't you see that's why we're here? He that is faithful unto death, I will give him a crown of life that will never. Fade away. It is so rare in our world that many do not believe it exists anymore. Even in many religions, it's been placed on the extinction list. Gone. Forever gone. Our president says it's impossible. His pastor says it doesn't matter. On and on as you march through life, people tell you faithfulness and fidelity and commitment is something that doesn't exist anymore. I say to them, come to Bakersfield, California. Because because on this Friday night, the last night, Youth Convention, 1999, somebody is going to make up their mind. Come on, devil, do your best. I'm not afraid of you. I know there'll be trouble. I know there'll be gloomy days. I know things will go wrong. But when it's over, I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to give you a wave. And I'm going to say, devil, you missed again. I'm still here. I'm still loving it. I'm still serving it. That's what they're hungry for. That's what they're waiting for. It took a fire that wouldn't go out to turn an 80-year-old failure into Moses, the man of God. And you need to show this world a fire that can never be quenched, regardless of problems and troubles. Somebody said, you have to win the battle out there one day at a time. And there's some truth in that. But let me tell you where the battle's won. It's won right here tonight. Oh yeah, you can change everything tonight. Your life can be forever, ever changed right here tonight. And it won't happen because of some wild and woolly experience. It won't happen because of some weird out there in left field thing. I tell you when it'll happen. When you make up your mind, I am here to stay. Like a 0.4 thermostat turning on a 220-volt air conditioner. It's when you make up your mind that you trigger the awesome power of an eternal God to come to your rescue. It's when you decide, though He slay me, yet will I trust and serve Him. When you make up your mind, devil, you're not going to get me. Others may fall, but I'm not going to quit. If I falter, I'll get back up. I'll put it under the blood. I'll be back on Sunday night. I'll be back on Wednesday night. I'll be back on youth service night. I'll be back on Sunday morning. I'm just going to keep coming and 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 keep coming. If you make up your mind, the devil can't stop you. So the aisles are nearly full, and the front is nearly full, and they've about got the platform full, but there's still room for somebody that wants to say, I'm tired of being wishy-washy. I'm tired of being knocked down on Monday. I'm tired of being barely able to make it to the next Sunday. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of backsliding every time school starts. I'm tired of giving up every time life turns down. I'm sick of it. Tonight, it's going to be different. I'm going to walk out of here, and I may have my problems, but I'm just never, ever going to quit. I just won't give up. You better hurry. It's filling up fast. That's right. Come on out of the balcony. Push on down. If you just have to line up in that aisle back there behind this first section, that'll be fine. Just come on in close as you can get. Close to the fire as you can get. You got to shake off a few snakes here tonight. Come on, I want you to cram in just as close as you can get. Now I want you to take the hand of the person next to you. If it's proper, I want you to grab their hand and I want you to hold it up high. We're going to make some commitments here tonight. Now wait. I want you to turn to that person whose hand you hold. And I want you to look them in the eye. We're not playing games here. No fun and games. No giggling. No laughing. I want you to look them in the eye. And if you've made up your mind, I want you to say, I'm not quitting. Come on, I want you to say it again. I'm not quitting. Normally, I would not advise you to address the devil. He's not worth it. But I want you to address the devil right now. whatever that problem is, whatever that temptation, whatever that habit, whatever that trouble, whatever that discouragement, I want you to address the devil and I want you to tell him what you just told your friend. I want you to say, I'm not quitting. No, you need to tell him again. Come on. I'm not quitting. I'll be here when the battle's over. I'll be here when the dust is settled and the smoke has cleared. You've got me to deal with till my last breath. I'm not quitting. I'll punch it in. I can't punch no more. I'll kick you till I can't kick anymore. I'll fight you till I can't fight anymore. But I am not quitting.
Now, here's the one that really matters. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to say it to him, to our master. Now, you don't have to get quiet. He don't mind you getting excited about it. I want you to tell Jesus now, Lord, I'm not quitting. Come on, you need to tell him, Jesus, I'm staying the course. I'm not giving up. I won't give in. I'll never, ever quit. All right, one last time, and then they're going to sing, and we're going to worship God for our newfound victory. But here's the last one I want you to talk to. I want you to say it to yourself. I want you to say it where you'll believe it. I want you to say it where it'll get down in the core of your soul. I want you to say it till it's under your fingernails, until it's ground into your skin. I want you to say it till you say it in your sleep. I want you to say it till you say it every morning when you get up, every night when you go to bed. I want you to say it to yourself. I'm not quitting. I want you to get yourself by the nape of the neck. I want you to get a hold of your own heart. And I want you to say, you're not quitting. You're not giving up. You're not giving in. You're going to stay there. You're going to be faithful. You're going to go to church. You're going to worship God. You're going to live right. You're going to dress right. You're going to submit. You're going to stay with it. One more time. Grab them by the hand. Hold that hand up. And I want you to say it. We're not quitting.
Faith on your kingdom coming down.
Come on, let's praise God.
Faith on your kingdom coming down. I heard the voice of Jesus say.
you know.